Welcome back for another deep dive with us. Today, we're going all the way back to the first century.
Oh, wow.
The Roman Empire,
Yeah.
At its peak. And this new faith is coming out of the Jewish world. You brought some excerpts about Colossians.
Yes.
A letter from Paul to a community of early Christians.
Right.
Who were dealing with some pretty tough stuff.
For sure.
So we're going to unpack what those challenges were.
Okay.
Why Paul felt like he needed to write this letter.
Yeah.
And what we can learn from their experiences.
Sounds good.
All right.
Yeah. It's amazing to think what it would have been like to be a Christian back then.
I know.
This new faith all about Jesus. It was spreading so fast.
Yeah.
But they were also facing a lot of pushback persecution.
Oh, yeah.
The early church was trying to figure out who they were.
Right.
In this mix of all these different philosophies and religions.
Yeah.
Greek philosophy, Roman paganism, Jewish mysticism.
Wow.
Like, imagine trying to figure out what it meant to follow Jesus.
Yeah.
When all these other gods and beliefs were all around you.
It must have been like trying to put together a puzzle.
Yeah.
But with pieces from like totally different puzzles.
Exactly.
So that brings us to what we're diving into today.
Okay.
The letter to the Colossians it suggests that this community was dealing with a false teaching.
Right,
it was like
yeah.
really threatening their faith.
Yeah.
I'm curious, you know, given all the debate about that Gnosticism theory,
yeah,
how are scholars understanding this false teaching now?
Well, the main idea now is that the Colossians were dealing with what we call syncretism,
okay,
like a mixing of different beliefs and practices.
Okay.
So imagine you're a new believer in Colossae.
Yeah.
You're trying to figure out how this radical message about Jesus fits in with all the traditions and beliefs you grew up with.
Right.
Do you just ditch everything you knew, or do you try to like blend your new faith with your old worldview?
Wow.
That's the situation they were in.
That's a really helpful way to think about it.
Yeah.
And it's not just an ancient problem. Is yep. it?
No, not at all.
We see it even today, right?
Oh, absolutely.
People try to mix their religious beliefs with their politics or their cultural practices with their personal values.
Yeah.
It's like this struggle to figure out faith and life. It's a human thing.
You're right. It's universal.
Yeah.
The Colossians weren't dealing with some theoretical debate.
Right.
This was real life stuff that affected how they lived.
Yeah.
How they connected with each other.
Yeah.
How they saw their place in the world.
And into this situation comes Paul.
Yeah.
Not just as a fellow believer, but an apostle.
Right.
Someone with real authority.
Oh, yeah.
He's not messing around, is he?
Nope.
He's coming in as a spiritual father figure.
Yeah.
Worried about his kids.
Mm-hmm.
How does he set up his authority in this letter?
Mm-hmm.
Especially when he's dealing with such a delicate topic.
Well, Paul's very smart about it.
Okay.
He starts by reminding them that he's an apostle.
Okay.
Chosen by Jesus himself to spread the gospel. He's not speaking for himself.
Right.
He's a representative of Christ.
So he's not just offering friendly advice.
Nope.
He's bringing a message with like divine backing.
Exactly.
Wow.
And he's not just laying down the law either. He really cares about the Colossians.
Oh.
He keeps calling them brothers and sisters, emphasizing that family connection they have in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He even uses terms like saints and faithful brothers,
right,
acknowledging their struggles, but affirming who they are in Christ.
That's so powerful.
It is.
He's not coming down hard on them.
No.
He's balancing authority with compassion and real care for their spiritual growth.
Right.
It makes me think about how we need people in our lives, who can tell us the truth.
Yes.
But in a loving and encouraging way.
Absolutely.
Not just condemning or judging us.
It's a tough balance.
It is.
But Paul does it so well.
Yeah.
He's not afraid to point out the error.
Right.
But he does it with love and care.
Okay, so we've got this situation. A mix of cultures and religions.
Right.
A community trying to live out their new faith.
Yeah.
And Paul coming in as a concerned brother with a message of truth.
Yes.
But what exactly were these false teachings that worried him?
Right.
We talked about syncretism, but were there any other like red flags that showed him that the Colossian church was in trouble?
Well, if we look closely at Colossians chapter 2,
okay,
we find some clues.
Okay.
Paul calls it a hollow and deceptive philosophy.
Okay.
So it wasn't just some harmless cultural mixing.
Right.
This philosophy relied on human traditions and elemental spiritual forces. It put a lot of emphasis on things like strict diets, sticking to certain holidays and festivals, and even an obsession with angels.
those sound kind of familiar. Yeah. Like, don't we still see that stuff today?
We do.
Like, people are fascinated with astrology or focus on special diets and rituals in some spiritual groups.
Yeah.
What was so bad about these practices for Paul?
I think it wasn't the practices themselves, but what they represented.
What do you mean?
A turning away from the importance of Christ.
Okay.
These outward practices became a way to try and earn God's favor or become more spiritual, which shifted the focus away from God's grace revealed in Christ.
So it's like they were adding stuff to the gospel.
Yeah.
As if Christ alone wasn't enough.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Paul was firm that salvation comes through faith in Christ alone,
right,
not through any rituals or practices.
Right.
He saw this false teaching as a huge threat to the gospel itself.
And it's interesting how he connects these external practices to the worship of elemental spiritual forces.
Yeah.
What did that mean for the Colossians? Mm. Were they like literally worshiping pagan gods?
Well, it's likely that Paul was referring to the widespread belief in spiritual beings and powers that were thought to control the material world. This could have been anything from worshiping Roman gods and goddesses to honoring ancestral spirits or following astrological omens.
Right.
The Colossians were living in a world full of these spiritual forces.
Yeah.
And it seems some were trying to mix them into their Christian faith.
It's like they were trying to create this hybrid faith.
Right.
Mixing Christianity with their pagan beliefs.
Yeah.
And that's where Paul draws the line, right? Uh-huh. He's saying you can't have it both ways.
Nope.
You can't serve two masters.
Exactly.
He's calling them back to the pure gospel message.
Yes.
That Christ alone is enough for salvation.
Mm.
And that true worship is all about him.
Absolutely.
So Paul identifies this false teaching,
right,
calls out the errors, affirms his authority as an apostle.
Yeah.
But he doesn't stop there, does he?
No, he doesn't.
He offers this powerful prayer for the Colossians.
Yeah.
A prayer that shows us what he really wants for them.
Right.
What stands out to you in this prayer?
Mm.
What are some of the key themes?
One of the first things that jumps out at me is Paul's request that they be filled with the knowledge of his will. He's not just concerned about their behavior, but about their understanding.
So it's not just blind faith.
No.
It's about a faith that's informed.
Yes.
And based on truth.
Exactly.
Paul gets it.
Mm-hmm.
Fighting false teaching takes more than good intentions.
Right, right.
It takes a deep and growing understanding of God's word and plan for our lives.
Wow, absolutely.
Makes me think about how important it is for us to keep learning.
Yeah.
To always be trying to grow in our knowledge of God's truth.
Right.
Especially in a world with so much information and misinformation.
So true.
Yeah.
We need to develop a discerning mind.
Right.
One that can filter through all the noise.
Yeah.
And figure out truth from error.
And that's something Paul talks about a lot in his letters.
He does.
But Paul doesn't just pray for their minds.
Oh. Uh-huh.
He also prays for their conduct, asking that they walk worthy of the Lord and bear fruit in every good work.
Yeah.
He's connecting their beliefs to their actions, isn't he?
Absolutely.
For Paul, true faith isn't just about saying you believe.
Right.
It's about a changed life.
Yes.
A life that shows Christ's character, in our words, actions and relationships.
It's like he's saying,
yeah,
you can't say you follow Jesus,
right,
and then live in ways that go against his teachings.
It's exactly.
He's calling them to a life of integrity where their actions match their beliefs.
And with all this talk about knowledge and doing the right thing,
yeah,
Paul doesn't forget about their feelings.
Right.
He prays for strength, endurance, patience, and most importantly, joy.
That's so important.
Yeah.
He's reminding them that the Christian life isn't supposed to be joyless and hard.
No.
It's supposed to be full of joy, peace, and gratitude.
Yeah. It's like he's saying, yes, there will be challenges and struggles, but don't forget the joy that comes from knowing Christ.
All right.
And walking in his ways.
Exactly. And that joy doesn't depend on our circumstances.
Right. It comes from our relationship with God.
This is such a rich prayer.
It is.
Paul's covering all the bases.
Yeah.
He cares about their minds, their actions, their hearts. Hmm. He wants them to be fully equipped.
Yes.
To stand firm in their faith and live lives that bring glory to God.
Absolutely.
But there's one more thing in his prayer that I want to talk about.
Yeah.
He specifically asks that they be giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light.
Yeah.
He connects their thankfulness to this amazing inheritance.
Right.
This idea of being moved from darkness to light.
That's a powerful image.
It is.
And one we should explore more.
Yeah, maybe we can unpack that in the next part.
That'd be good.
But before we do that, okay. I'm going to bring this back to you, our listener.
Yeah.
We've been talking about a community struggling with false teachings, trying to live out their faith in a difficult world.
Right.
Have you ever felt pulled in different directions?
Trying to balance your beliefs with the pressures of your culture or the expectations of people around you.
It's a constant struggle.
How do you stay true to your convictions when you face different opinions or tempting compromises?
That's a question we all wrestle with.
Yeah.
And as we go deeper into Paul's letter to the Colossians, I think we'll find some timeless wisdom and practical guidance for dealing with these challenges.
I can't wait to see what insights we find.
Me too.
But for now, we'll leave you with that question to think about.
Okay.
Join us next time as we continue our deep dive into Colossians.
Sounds good.
Okay, so this idea of the inheritance of the saints in light.
Right.
It makes me think of heavenly rewards and eternal bliss.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like Paul's talking about something even deeper here.
Yeah, I think so too.
What do you think about this concept?
Well, you're right. It's not just about some reward in the future.
Okay.
This inheritance is something we can experience now. Yeah, Paul's describing this reality of being transferred from the domain of darkness and transferred to the kingdom of his beloved son.
Okay.
And this transfer happens when we put our faith in Christ.
So it's like we're entering a whole new reality.
Yeah.
The kingdom of light.
Exactly.
Totally different from the darkness of the world we were living in.
Right. And this kingdom isn't some far off place.
Okay.
It's breaking into our lives right now, changing us from the inside out.
Hmm. That's interesting.
It's about experiencing forgiveness from sin, the presence of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Freedom from the power of sin and knowing God as our Father.
Wow.
These are all part of our inheritance that we can access and enjoy now.
It's like we've been given this treasure map.
Yeah.
And the treasure isn't buried somewhere far away.
Right.
It's right here waiting for us to find it and claim it.
I love that analogy.
And Paul connects this inheritance to gratitude.
Yes, he does.
He's not just saying, be thankful for what you have.
Yeah.
He's saying, realize how huge what you've been given in Christ is. Let your hearts be overflowing with thankfulness for this incredible gift.
Absolutely.
It makes me think about how we can forget about our salvation.
And it's easy to do.
We get caught up in everyday life, the challenges, the frustrations, and we forget the wonder of being God's children.
Right.
Heirs to an eternal kingdom.
It's so easy to miss the big picture.
Yeah.
We get stuck in the details, the worries, the comparisons,
and
we forget to stop and say, wow, God has done something amazing in my life.
Right.
He's rescued me from darkness and brought me into his marvelous light.
Oh.
How can I not be filled with thankfulness?
That's powerful.
And it's not just about feeling grateful. It's about showing that gratitude.
Okay.
Paul doesn't say think thankful thoughts. Right. He says give thanks to the Father.
Exactly. Gratitude isn't just a passive emotion.
No, it's not.
It's an active response to God's grace.
Yes, it is.
It's about recognizing his goodness, praising him for his faithfulness, and living in a way that shows our thankfulness. And that brings us back to Paul's instructions for Christian living.
Okay.
The putting off and putting on we talked about. It's like he's saying, you've been given this incredible gift, this new identity in Christ.
Right.
Now live a life that shows it.
Yeah.
Don't let the old ways of thinking and acting drag you back into darkness.
That's a great connection.
Gratitude isn't just about warm, fuzzy feelings.
No.
It's about a changed life.
Exactly.
It's about knowing we've been freed from sin's power and empowered to live in a new way.
Yes.
A way that reflects Christ's character. So it's not just about avoiding bad behavior.
Right.
It's about actively pursuing godliness.
Yeah.
About putting on those virtues that show a life transformed by grace.
Exactly. It's about developing those qualities Paul talks about.
Which ones?
Love, joy,
peace,
patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
It seems like those are hard to find these days.
They are countercultural, that's for sure. But they're so important for strong relationships, healthy communities,
right,
and a world that reflects God's love and justice.
And we can't just make those qualities appear on our own, can we?
No, we need God's help.
Right, to put off the old and put on the new.
This transformation is a work of grace.
Yeah.
A process that the Holy Spirit starts and keeps going in us.
But we have to participate too, right?
Absolutely. We need to choose to walk in the light,
okay,
to develop these virtues,
mm-hmm,
and resist the temptations that try to pull us back into darkness.
So it was partnership.
Yes.
A collaboration between God's grace,
yeah,
and our effort.
Exactly. And it's a lifelong journey.
Right.
We won't be perfectly holy in this life.
Yeah.
We'll stumble and have setbacks. Mm. But the good news is God is patient and merciful.
That's good.
He doesn't give up on us when we mess up.
Right.
He keeps drawing us back to him, inviting us to grow in grace and become more like his son.
Speaking of God's son, I want to go back to that Christ hymn we mentioned before. You called it a symphony of praise that shows Christ's huge importance.
Mm-hmm.
Why was this hymn so important for the Colossians,
mm-hmm,
especially with all those false teachings they were facing?
That's a great question. This hymn in Colossians 1:1-5:20 is a powerful response to those syncretistic tendencies creeping into the church.
I see.
Remember how we talked about them being tempted to mix their faith with paganism and Jewish mysticism?
Yeah.
Well, this hymn puts Christ right at the center of everything,
okay,
declaring his total supremacy and authority over all creation.
So Paul is saying, don't get distracted by all these other spiritual forces and philosophies.
Right.
Focus on Christ.
Yes.
He's the one true God, the source of all creation, the head of the church, and the one who holds everything together.
Exactly. And this hymn isn't just some theological lecture.
Okay.
It's a beautiful declaration of who Christ is and what he's done.
I see.
Paul uses vivid imagery and powerful language to describe Christ. As the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, the one through whom and for whom all things were created,
right,
the head of the body, the church, the firstborn from the dead, and the one in whom all the fullness of God dwells.
Wow, that's a lot.
It is. He's piling on all these titles and attributes to show how important and glorious Christ is.
Yeah, it's like this cosmic reorientation.
I like that.
A shifting of our view from what's limited and temporary to what's infinite and eternal.
And it's not just about understanding Christ's supremacy intellectually.
Okay.
It's about heartfelt adoration and worship of him as Lord.
It makes me think about how our worship should be focused on Christ.
Yes.
Not on ourselves or what we want.
Absolutely. Our worship should be a response to Christ's glory and grace,
yeah,
pouring out of our love and thankfulness for all he's done.
This deep dive into Colossians has been so insightful.
It has.
We talked about the challenges of the early church,
mm-hmm,
the reality of syncretism,
right,
the power of Paul's prayer,
yes,
the idea of our inheritance in Christ, the importance of gratitude,
absolutely,
and how central Christ is, as shown in the Christ hymn.
That's right.
But we're not done yet, are we?
We've got more to explore.
I'm excited to see what else we find.
Me too.
But first, I want to bring this back to you, our listener.
Okay.
We've been discussing the Christ hymn and its emphasis on Christ's supremacy.
Mm-hmm.
What does this hymn mean to you?
Mm.
How does it shape how you understand who Christ is and what he's done?
Good question.
And how does it challenge you to live differently in a world that often pulls us away from the center?
Right.
Away from the one who holds everything together.
Those are great questions to think about.
They are.
And as we continue exploring Colossians,
mm-hmm,
I hope you'll discover even more about the beauty and power of the gospel.
Yes.
And the transforming grace of our Lord Jesus Christ.
We've talked about how big Christ's supremacy is,
wow,
and the amazing inheritance we have in him. But now I want to get into like what all this means practically.
Yeah, that's important.
Paul doesn't just leave the Colossians with these big theological ideas, right?
No, he doesn't.
He gets into the details of how this faith should be lived out.
Absolutely.
Every day.
He's great at connecting theology and practice.
He is.
He lays out this grand vision of Christ.
Right.
And then says, okay, so how does this affect how you live?
Right.
How you treat people, how you handle relationships, your work, your choices?
It's like he's saying, you've been given this amazing gift,
mm-hmm,
this new identity, this power to live differently.
Yeah.
Now go and actually do it.
Exactly. And he's specific, too.
He is.
He gives clear instructions about what to put off,
okay,
what to put on.
Like a spiritual wardrobe change.
Exactly.
So let's talk fashion.
Okay.
What are some of those old clothes he wants the Colossians to get rid of?
Mm.
What are those behaviors and attitudes that don't fit with their new life in Christ?
He lists things like sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness.
Yeah.
These were vices that were everywhere in the Roman world. And it seems like some of the Colossians were having trouble breaking free.
It shows that becoming a Christian doesn't magically erase all our old habits and temptations.
That's true.
We still live in a fallen world, right?
We do.
And we're constantly facing things that try to pull us away from God.
Absolutely. And Paul knows This change is a process, a journey of leaving the old behind and embracing the new.
Right.
It's not about becoming perfect overnight,
okay,
but about consistently letting the Holy Spirit transform us.
And it's not just about personal morality.
Yeah,
right?
Not at all.
Paul also talks about how they should treat others,
mm-hmm.
how they talk, how they handle conflict, how they act in the community. What are some of the virtues he focuses on?
He highlights things like forgiveness, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience.
Those are important.
They are. And they were often seen as weaknesses in Roman culture.
Really?
But Paul presents them as crucial marks of a true follower of Christ.
It's like he's changing what it means to be strong and powerful. He's saying true strength comes from humility, from serving others, from showing grace and forgiveness, even when it's hard.
Exactly. And these aren't just nice ideas.
Right.
They affect how we build relationships, resolve conflicts, and create a more just and loving society.
Our world today could really use some of that Colossians wisdom.
I agree.
There's so much anger, division, and lack of empathy.
It's true. We need those teachings on forgiveness, compassion, and kindness more than ever.
We do.
They offer a powerful way to fight against the polarization and bitterness in our culture.
And he doesn't just talk about these virtues broadly.
Yep.
He gets specific about how they should be lived out in families, talking to husbands, wives, children, even slaves. Now, this is where it can get a little tricky for us today.
I know what you mean.
Especially when we read parts that seem to support traditional gender roles or even slavery.
Right.
How do we approach those passages
in
a way that's faithful to the text, but also sensitive to our understanding of equality and human rights?
That's a crucial question. We need to think carefully about it.
Yeah.
It's important to remember Paul was writing in a specific culture.
Right.
One that was very different from ours.
Yeah. The Roman world was patriarchal and hierarchical.
Mm-hmm.
And slavery was just accepted.
Right. Paul doesn't say those structures are wrong.
Okay.
But he gives instructions that challenge the norms and point to a more just and equal way of relating to each other.
So it's not about ignoring those passages or forcing them into a modern way of thinking.
No.
It's about understanding them in their historical context.
Right.
And then figuring out the timeless principles that can guide us today.
Exactly like when Paul tells husbands to love their wives as Christ loved the church.
Yeah.
He's introducing this radical idea of self-sacrificial love.
Right.
That goes against Roman culture where husbands had all the power.
And even in his instructions to slaves, he talks about their dignity and worth as people.
He does.
Reminding masters that they also have a master in heaven.
That's important. Paul doesn't say slavery is okay.
Right.
But he knows many of his readers were living in that reality.
Right.
So he tries to give advice that would lessen the harm and point toward a future where everyone is treated with dignity and respect.
It reminds us that even in a broken world, we can still try to live out the gospel.
Yeah.
To fight injustice and promote love and reconciliation.
Absolutely. That's what makes Paul's letter to the Colossians so relevant for us today.
It does.
We might not face the same exact challenges.
Right.
But we live in a world that's still struggling with questions of identity, truth, and how to live a life that pleases God.
And Paul's letter gives us a guide that's still useful.
It does.
A way to navigate those challenges with wisdom, grace, and a strong faith in the one who holds everything together.
That's a great way to put it. And as we finish our deep dive, I want to leave our listeners with this thought.
Okay.
The journey of faith is an ongoing adventure.
It is.
A process of learning, growing, and becoming more like Christ. There will be challenges and setbacks.
Yeah.
But we can always turn to the scriptures for guidance, to the Holy Spirit for strength.
Right.
And to the community of faith for support and encouragement.
That's a powerful reminder. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into Colossians.
It was my pleasure.
We hope it's encouraged you to explore this amazing letter more.
Me too.
And discover the transformative power of the gospel for yourself.